This is Adam Francis, and you're listening to the Equipped Indoor Podcast on the E2E Radio Network. Stand by for a great show. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Equipped to Indoor Podcast, episode 403. I'm your host, Adam Francis, with your other host, Mr. Robert Oliver, and we're running solo, brother, just you and me.
We can do it.
Me and you. And you, and I'm going to stop. I'll get sued for that.
Yeah, just go ahead.
it's like 10 a.m. in the morning, and I just got off a shift last night, and I've had my first coffee injection. I'll probably going to break here in about 5 minutes and have my second mug. How are you, Robbie?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Are you taking that coffee by IV or enema?
Yeah. I'm actually bathing in it.
Okay.
I was thinking, if I go maximum surface area absorption, and you'd be surprised how much caffeine can get through your eyes when you're submerged in coffee.
Yeah, so, I would believe it.
Man, what a busy month so far. January 2015 has been crazy. Here we are. We're recording this on the 30th, actually. And I think I've had about 3 hours of sleep the whole month of January. People having grandbabies, people flying around. People spending time standing at their knife shop. It's been nuts.
Hey, 3 hours sleep. You're working at your optimum then?
I am. Oh, man. I'm in the zone, as you know. So, a lot to talk about. And we did miss episode last week. Just some stuff came up, guys, and we couldn't get to it. Apologize about that.
I still talk to you. We just weren't recording, and you couldn't hear me. Because we weren't on the phone, but I randomly sat around in my living room talking to you.
I felt you through the force.
Okay, good.
So there was a disturbance there, and I knew that you were talking. And it sounded like you were in a good mood, so I was kind of scared.
Yeah.
So a lot to talk about. I think the first thing I want to talk about, and we might run in a circle in this conversation, but I think it's something I just kind of want to share, my belief in this. And this is the movie American Sniper. First off, let me say one thing. I like Bradley Cooper. I think he's a good actor. I think he'd be a perfect Green Lantern. I'm going to put that out there. You can agree with me or not. Perfect Hal Jordan. I'm just for the comic book guys out there. And I love Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood is awesome. But before all the controversy started with this movie, and of course you got these individuals who are basically trying to, yesterday they were calling him a murderer, that he went on killing sprees, and you have other people saying other bad things about it, and the movie is knocking the box office down. And of course, we know of Chris through a couple, friends of ours who, either knew him or knew his reputation in the SEALs, and we always heard about good stuff. I remember talking to Madison when Chris was killed, and it was kind of upsetting for him, of course, anytime that SEALs lose a team member. But, this movie came out, man, and I have not seen it yet. And I don't want to see it.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, and it's not because I think anything bad about Chris. It's actually quite the contrary. I respect him and what he does so much that I don't believe it's any of my business to dig into, his life or the tragedies that he went through or whatnot. And I guess, the movie might be motivational or whatever. I think nowadays we're getting too much into each other's business. And I think there's something sacred there. Now, I know that his wife is all, assisted in this movie. I know that Chris's father is not quite happy with the movie. I believe if the situation was switched and my wife had to go through this over and over again, I wouldn't want that on her. And I don't think Chris would want this to happen. And I don't know. I mean, he was in the public eye. There's been books written and whatnot. He wasn't scared to get up there and talk about his experiences, on national TV and stuff like that. And to write a book. And I know that he has some legal issues with former Governor Jesse Ventura, who I guess was also a former SEAL. But I don't know, man. What do you think about it, Robbie?
I'm tired, Adam. Very, 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 very tired of the reality world and our Hollywood world meeting and intersecting for the purpose of entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining to me anymore. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I have no public opinion on Chris. I have no public opinion on most any of that type of thing because I'm not a public figure.
Yeah.
If you want my opinion, come sit down across the campfire from me.
Yeah.
But this whole making everybody's lives and what goes on and everything, television and movies, it's played out. I'm disgusted with it. I haven't seen the movie for that reason.
Yep.
You know, I would rather, if I'm going to be entertained, and that's the reason for going to a movie.
Yeah.
Is to be entertained. Give me something based on a Marvel character.
Yeah.
Give me something to, you know, that some horror writer wrote and is going to keep me up late because I can't sleep for scared some little doll is going to come around the corner of my house and ask me if I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care what you're talking. Give me the fantasy I pay for.
Yeah. Give me something to take something to suspend disbelief, to take you out of the real world for a little bit,
even
and
if
enjoy
it's
the spectacle of the film.
Even if it's a chick flick, that's okay. Yeah. Give me the guy who's a plumber and goes to the widow's house, and somehow he works 8 hours a day, 7 days a week on her house, and yet his hair never gets mussed, his 5 o'clock shadow never changes. His clothing never gets dirty, and somehow he's made $1 million on a book deal that she don't know about because he's still living in the same little town where she left him 25 years ago. Great. Chick flick galore. Love it. It's just fantasy. You know, I can't walk outside without getting dirty. How he can go through the whole movie without messing up his hair, I don't know.
You've really thought about this one.
I'm tired of it, dude. I really am. I'm fed up. I think it should be a beacon of light shining on the fact that we as a society are developing a psychological disorder, and we need to nip it in the bud.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, my opinion on this hasn't changed since all the controversy associated with this film. You know, I was talking to some of my officers, and, you know, I was like, hey, guy, you know, it was like the last day of a shift. I think we had the weekend off. It was like a Thursday. So this was like maybe a Thursday 2 weeks ago, whenever before this movie came out. I guess it was a week. Yeah, it had to be 2 weeks ago. And I was like, hey, guys, what are you getting into? He's like, oh, we're going to go see the American Sniper movie. A lot of them are going together. And, like, you know, you're going to go see that, Sarge? And I'm like, you know what, man? Like, I'm not, you know, I like the director. I like the actor. I'm sure it's going to be done very well. I'm sure it's going to be a riveting story. I just don't agree with the subject matter. You know what I mean? I don't want to share in the intimate moments that this man who had a very challenging, demanding job, you know, was probably very demanding on his life, on his wife. And unfortunately was murdered by a psycho. And the one thing I can say, I'm glad, from what I understand, because one of my biggest things is, like, I don't want to give that freaking psycho who murdered him any showtime. You know what I mean?
Some good publicity?
Yeah, but I mean, from what I understand, the movie did end before that happened. You know, like, it's you knew it was going to come, but they didn't really make it a spectacle or whatnot. And they said that the ending was very good. And I mean, that's Clint Eastwood. He's gonna do a good job. And I'm not, you know, I'm not arguing the quality of the film or anything. It's just, I think it needs to get to the point we need to ask ourselves. I mean, why are we telling this? Are we telling this story for Chris's sake? Are we? And if that's the reason why we're doing it, then okay. You know, I'm all right with that. I'm still not going to go see it. That's still my personal choice. But if it's not for his, if it's not for his sake, and if it's not 100% for his sake, then I think we're doing it for the wrong reason. And I know there's legal issues with his with his wife, and you know they're being sued, and you know there's money issues and stuff, and this is going to help them, you know, help his family through that. So I guess there's a point to be said then, but it's just like, you know, why do we gotta share the tragedy of other people and the real stuff? I mean, it's one thing that if it's a made up character and we can associate and we can empathize with that character or whatever, that's okay. But it gets to be a point where, and you know, now his name's being run through the mud. You know, now, you know, it was bad enough that his wife, you know, had to probably relive a part of it. But now, you know, people are calling him going on murder sprees and saying that he's racist and that he was a bad dude. You know what I mean? He's not here to, you know, how dare anybody out there? He's not here to defend himself. You know, have some freaking class. So that's the part that just kind of is getting on me. And it's like, I'll tell you, Robbie, I mean, I before this movie came out, I just felt like, man, you know what? This is not gonna go places. And it's a spectacle. You know why it's a spectacle now? Because it made so much damn money. You know, I was talking to a fellow sergeant of mine. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing this weekend? This was last night. He's like, oh, I'm going to take the wife and the kids to go see American Sniper. And I'm like, wow, this is like becoming the American family movie now that families are going out and seeing. And I don't know.
I thought that was Frozen.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So it's a strange situation, man. Very strange situation. So, and I mean, again, guys, if you want to go see that movie, hey, that's on you. Everybody listening to this podcast is most likely an adult. They can make their own choices and how they support and don't support it. You know, but it gets to the point where, and I like Clint Eastwood. I don't think he's made a bad movie as far as I'm concerned. You know, so. And I'm sure this movie is done very well, and I'm sure it's done done tastefully. But you know, it's just the repercussions that it's happened. It's just, I don't know. I mean, would you want something like that? If you were killed in line of duty, Robbie, or if you know something happened, would you want your family to have to relive that? You know,
no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I know he's got kids, or at least one kid. You know, and I don't think that kid is old enough to comprehend, you know, what's going on. You know, I don't know, man. So, I guess we can move on. But I do think it speaks something for the culture, is that we need to stop being so damn entertained. And, you know, who I really am angry at with this issue, and I guess this is another thing, is the damn news media. It is just such, it is such bullcrap nowadays. It's become a you know, there's a show that I watched here recently, Robbie. It was so good. I finished the whole series in probably like a week and a half. And you know, I don't watch that much TV. So for me to sit there and watch, you know, three seasons of a show, it's the show News. I can't remember the show. Newsroom. The Newsroom on HBO. And a phenomenal show. It you've probably seen a clip from it. It starts out, some guy's asking, you know, why is America the best country? And I can't even remember. I have to look it up real quick. Jeff from Dumb and Dumber. What's his name?
I can't remember. Yeah, I know.
Man. Now it's going to kill me. All right. Jeff Daniels. So Jeff Daniels is like this, kind of like this Bill O'Reilly type character. You know, one of the second highest news shows. But anyway, they get to the point where they realize news is bullcrap, and so they want to tell the news for real and really call people out and point out. Now it's funny because the character is a conservative. He's a Republican, but he hates the Tea Party, and it is definitely written from a very what it seems to be a liberal bias on the way some of the shows are. We're going, but you know me, man. I like to look at the facts, and I like to, you know, make my opinion. But it's funny how you have to watch a drama on HBO for people to say, you know what? Damn, the news industry is a hot mess. It's all about ratings. It's all about, you know, their sponsorship, and it's not about telling anybody the truth. You know, and it's disgusting. And you know, if you guys, it's an entertaining show. It's only three seasons. I think there's six or seven episodes each season. It's got the whole melodrama of the people in the newsroom and everything. But I would suggest watching it for the content of how the news you know, if this is an accurate depiction of how news business is, I suggest to watch that and think about that. You know, that this is a business. That this, you know, the people who are the bosses of the people who are telling the news, the people whose job it is to inform you, are making decisions based off profitability of a company. And I think that's inherently evil. I think it's an evil thing, man. I mean, and I'm a businessman too. I'm a capitalist. I think people should be able to go make money, and I think they should be able to sell a product. But there's a certain philosophical danger in this concept. And you know, why the hell do we need 15 24-hour news channels, Robbie? Can there be that much news?
Nope.
I don't know, man.
But I got one for you, Adam. Do you watch the television show Arrow?
Yes, actually, I do.
You know, I'm a comic book nerd. The main actor, Stephen, what is it, Amell?
Yeah.
And I may be, am I mispronouncing that?
I think that's correct. Okay. I know he's doing something for Paws and Stripes. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Why isn't that on television?
Yeah.
Why isn't his Sincerously campaign, where he's raising money for Stand for Silent and he's also raising money for Paws and Stripes? Here is a big name television actor. He's on my television every single week doing something publicly. Why hasn't the news media, why aren't they tearing that up?
Yeah. Because
he's doing something positive. He's raising money for charities. No point in covering that.
Yep. Ain't he a great guy? I subscribe to him on Facebook just to support him. You know what I mean?
I did too because of what he does.
Yeah. Because he did one thing with it. He did a cancer thing. He's a very cool guy. He does his own. He runs his own Facebook, I guess YouTube channel as well. Like it's not a big. He just puts a camera on and starts talking to it. It's not a big thing, and he answers stuff about the show and about whatever. But every once in a while, he wants to work on different charities because he's got. You know, he realizes he has this reach, and so he's basically. I think this is his second run of T-shirts. One was a F Cancer. It's a charitable organization called F Cancer. So he raised money from them with these F Cancer T-shirts, and now he's got this Sincerely campaign going on. Actually, Pam bought two.
Awesome.
So I'm gonna have one. It was actually so overwhelmed when he opened it up. I think that PayPal was messing up. It couldn't like deal with the response. You know. So you know what, man? That's some good stuff right there. You know, this is a for those of you guys who don't know about the show, it's based off the DC comic character Green Arrow, who's basically like another version of Batman. Rich millionaire gets trapped on an island, learns how to use his bow skills, comes back, realizes that, you know, he wasted his millions and becomes a crime fighter, and you know, like a vigilante. Very similar in idea. And you know, it's a pretty good show. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's that kind of campy superhero sitcom stuff. The Flash is pretty cool too. And you know, Robbie and I are both comic book geeks.
Yep.
We're not even good comic book geeks. We probably don't even know what we're talking about nowadays. So yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that is really cool. So yeah, you don't hear anything about that. What happened to the feel good pieces that used to be on like the local? I can still remember that from when I was a kid. You know, like the local news. You turn on, you know. Hit the dial of TV, like, you know, NBC4 or whatever, the local news, or Fox 5, you know, you'd have, like, positive things about people doing something positive in the community because the news was focused on your community. There was the national news as well that would come on at 8 o'clock or whatever, but you didn't have all these, you know, these cable news channels, which is just 24 hours of crap. So, and it was funny. We had the news on it in our office, 24/7, Robbie, and we go back and forth from, you know, MSNBC to CNN to Fox News, and actually every once in a while I'll turn on BBC, but it's like, you know, you're watching Fox News and it's like, buy gold and silver. Silver is at the lowest point it's been at for forever. If you buy it now, you know, you can maximize your returns. And it's like, well, you've been telling everybody to buy silver and gold for the last 5 years, and it's took a dump. So everybody who's bought it, you know, three years ago is like hating life right now because silver is below like the cost of mining, you know, mining for it. or something ridiculous. It's just, you know, just more sponsorship. I mean, I'm going to raise the fear of everybody about the economy, about how our society's doing, about our debt. And those are the stories I'm going to focus on. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to show, precious metal investment opportunities because the country's going down the tubes. I mean, does anybody see a problem with that? Is it just me? It doesn't seem legit, you know? Seems like I'm filing. I mean, that would be like that if Equipped to Endure. Let me paint the picture here. If Equipped to Endure, you know, all I reviewed was bad knives that broke on me and I ended up damaging myself. Like I broke and a shard would fly into my shoulder. And then I went to a commercial break like, buy this new super knife, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, that's kind of disingenuous. Don't you think so, Robbie?
Why not do a
story about how precious metal investment is tanked and people, you know, a lot of people have lost a lot of wealth because they've invested in gold and silver. I mean, yeah, they still have that, but the price has gone down tremendously. And Fox News has been peddling this advertisement for the last 5 years. How about do that damn story? So, I don't know.
I'm not a fan of the news media.
Yeah, it's just, you know what I wish, man? You know what I wish when we get artificial intelligence? That we have a little robot that flies around and reports the real news. Like, objectively as possible. Wouldn't that be awesome? There's nobody's getting paid for it, you know? So, is this a link for Knocking Point Wine? This is Stephen Amell's wine thing.
Yeah, I just love. There's a couple of them that I love the bottles because they've got the, yeah, you know, like Wicked Ain.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the Vigilante.
Yeah, Year Two Nouveau.
Yeah, that. Just some of them I really kind of just like them.
You know, it's funny, man. Have you seen the guy's workout routine? He does all his own stunts and everything. He's a freaking beast, man. He's like he could be on American Ninja.
No, I generally avoid watching that type of stuff because it just makes me feel bad about myself.
Dude, American Ninja is awesome, dude. I love that. I love that stuff. Show.
I see those workouts and I think, man, I need to get up and do that. And I get up, but I just end up getting up and going and get a bag of Fritos. I actually don't have to work out when I get up to work out. There's a hole in my system there somewhere.
Yeah. You know, you gotta do whatever you can do. Pam bought me that Fitbit thing, and I've been wearing it and tracking, and we've been having kind of a silent competition, and she's been kicking my butt. And I'm like, how fast are you running around, you know, to beat me this? Because I even at work, I get up like if I'm in the desk, I get up every hour and walk around, you know. Like for she's still kicking my butt, but you know.
Yeah, I had one of those wrist-mounted pulse monitor things one time. It kept going to sleep. What's that tell you? It fell asleep several times. It was sickening how pitiful I am. It called 911 three times because it thought I was dead.
All right, I guess we should move on into some more Equipped to Endure based stuff.
Yeah, enough of our ranting. What's new in the E2E world?
Oh, man. Well, you know what, guys? We've been busy, busy, busy. I got a couple videos on deck. Recently, though, and this is kind of just a side note, a little look into my personal life, I've been really slammed trying to get some stuff done for Live Fire Gear. As you guys know, Live Fire Gear, we released our 5D Fire Cord, which should be in stock. We have tons of – we're actually going to be not selling it on livefiregear.com anymore. We've gotten to that point where we have dealers and distributors, so we'll have a list at where you guys can buy it from and all the other good stuff. So we're kind of excited about that. But we have been just busy as crap trying to expand what we're doing. And the only way I can explain it is you identify a problem, right? As soon as you – and imagine the problem is a support that you got to put, you know, you have to put a support in place to solve that problem, right? Every time you place that support in place, there's 10 supports needed for that support. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, hey, you know, we need QuickBooks for inventory tracking, and we get QuickBooks. Holy crap, we need somebody to teach us how to use this. oh, we're using this wrong. We need, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z. Oh, now we need to buy a scanner gun so we can track inventory. It's just, it's cool, man. It's exciting. It's fun. I love this kind of stuff. You know me, I love problem solving. But it does get into the point where, like, man, I really understand the difference of a vacation. I haven't worked this hard in like 10 years. So it's fun. It's good. And I got to, you know, thank Roger and his wife, Dana, and my wife, Pam, for really just everybody's working their butts off. I mean, I do my 12-hour days at work. I come and do my E2E stuff, and then I do my live fire stuff as well. And they're catching up with me with hours. And there's just days that I come here and I'm spent. But pretty fun. So that's cool. That's been going well. A couple videos. We got Uncle Bobby Plude back in some videos doing some trapping stuff, which is pretty fun. And that second, I think that second video got released. That second Fox video get released? Robbie, have you seen that one? Part two? Yep, it did.
I don't. Yeah.
It did. It did get released. Because you can see everything on the back end.
Yeah.
So you actually.
And I never know when something's released and not released because I watch it.
Yeah, you can watch them, and you can watch them before they go public. So yeah, he did get a fox on that bait set, but also we'll be going back there because he's got, you know, Bobby is taking a job in his retirement, kind of a caretaker for a piece of property, and you know he's the kind of guy, he's always got to be busy, you know, so fixing something, you know, piddling around on something, and recently he's had a fox problem on this property he's responsible for taking. Taken care of, so he's been trapping the fox. The fox is out there, and you got to watch out. There's a lot of rabies with fox, and you got, you know, these animals chasing people, chasing other animals and stuff like that. But they also got coyotes, so he's found some coyote tracks in there. So he'll be doing some trapping for the coyotes. And he actually had one that you know got out of the trap. I guess he was too big for the trap he was using. So we'll be doing some more stuff on that. What did you think of that trap stuff, man? You know, he can that fool can set a trap, can't he?
Yes, he can. And you know, that's not a skill you just discover you have.
Yeah.
That's years of practice and you know, education from the old timer, self education through trial and error.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't born that good overnight.
Yeah. And you guys really can't I mean, the film doesn't do it justice. It is really hard to appreciate how well Bobby does it. He's got a perfect system in place, you know, step 1 through 20. And you know, his trap, he's good. I mean, that he set up that trap and got an animal that night. It wasn't like, you know, it waited out there for very long. So that was pretty cool. Also, we got a chance to do one of our 3-year reviews or follow-up reviews looking at some of the Fiddleback Forge knives. Really digging those blades, guys. Check out that and check out Andy's site at fiddlebackforge.com and keep an eye out on Blade Forums for his Fiddleback Fridays when he's got his new stuff that comes on and you can get the first shot to make a purchase. And, you know, hey, it is only January 30th, but Blade Show will be here before we know it. So I think I'm going to jump and do that Duke this year, Robbie.
I was just looking at that the other day and thinking of you.
And, man, I just want one, man. I want one. I want to, you know... Just go out there and play around and that style can't. You know what's funny, man? And let me ask you this: Do you feel that you've got your camping needs, bushcraft needs, survival needs, whatever label that we want to attach? Because I realize that we all have different systems in place for all those different needs. Do you feel like you got it? Are you to a point where you got it kind of locked down to where it needs to be?
No. Never.
Do you
will.
Feel? Well, let me rephrase that. Where you're comfortable.
Could,
where
could I, can
where
I
you
go
could go out and say
be comfortable? Absolutely, but I could do that 20 years ago.
Well, my next statement is: Do you find yourself wanting to go out there in a certain style now? Like, I want to go
yes.
out there and play around with this. I'm going to make this entertaining and educational with me, and just have fun with this type of setup.
Well, and here's the. I guess the full circle evolution there, Adam,
mm-hmm.
is that there was skills that I learned as a child from my grandfather and father and then just playing things they taught me and then I taught myself variations of what they taught me, you know, just playing in the woods growing up. And,
yeah.
and it became almost that was entertainment. And then it went to a skill, a needed skill point where I was out there learning and educating and even teaching sometimes, as an educational aspect. Yeah. And it has come full circle where I'm back to most of your base skills are now so ingrained that I can do them without them feeling like I'm practicing. I'm just doing them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like pouring a cup of coffee. That eventually it just gets to a point where it's a no-brainer. You just go through the motions. And since I've gotten to that point, now I'm doing things more as entertainment again.
Well, I will tell you that, and I kind of feel guilty. You know, it's a little E2E confession, but like recently when I go out in the field, I haven't been bringing my camera because I just need a break from that. You know, I gotta get out in the woods for the purpose of what getting out in the woods I got into in the first place. So,
I think the joy I have found at least in doing that, Adam, is now I try things that I don't think will work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crap that I'm pretty sure this is gonna fail badly. But who cares? I know 10 different ways to do it right. I know 10 different ways to do it right in 10 different circumstances. Who cares? Let's do this and see what happens. You know?
Yeah, like let's you know, I want to try this kind of shelter and see how effective it is.
Yeah. And
yeah, it's, you know.
Sometimes I build things like shelter's a good example. I did one not too long ago that I'm glad I didn't stay out that night. I built the shelter, then went home, which I'm glad I did because apparently it fell down in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't in it when that happened, but now I know. I didn't have high hopes for it to start with. It was one of those where I was trying to wedge things against each other and use physics in my, apparently my physics degree needs to be mailed back to the Cracker Jack Corporation and get another one because it didn't work out that well.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Well, what did you expect for $4.99?
Well, it was $6.99. I got the ring.
I got the ring that
came with the package.
Next, guys, keep an eye out. We have a giveaway for the Ken Onion Foresight First Edition Blade. It's a nice folder. We got a little thing going on there for you guys to share your folding knives on the website.
I love Ken.
Also,
he is such a cool guy.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He is. VanQuest Gear, Molly Sticks, and MOHL Gear Review. I didn't say hook and loop. I said hook and ladder. I've been talking to my firefighter buddies too much. That was a slip. So somebody called me out on that. That was pretty funny.
I thought it was
that's a nice little piece of gear. I got some other stuff from VanQuest that I've been working here with here. I just want to get some more time under my belt before I finish the video. And then last but not least, I did a vehicle EDC update 2015 winter gear loadout. And guys, we recorded that video when we were out there recording Bobby doing some trapping. And it was one of those things where I had cameraman Mark with me. He's like, hey, man, you want to do anything else? I was like, you know what? I've been having guys, you know, bug me for an EDC video for my vehicle. I haven't done that for a while. I was like, well, why don't you just do it now? And I'm like, you know, that's a good point. I'll just do exactly what I have in here. And we'll own it. We'll own that. And it was, you know, I enjoyed that. There are some comments and people said, hey, why don't you have this and why don't you have that? And it's like, well, obviously you guys haven't seen the first one because you know I have that stuff and I have that stuff in my bags that I didn't go over specifically. But that was fun, little update. And I think I'm going to – I got some ideas for some people. The problem is that vehicle, Robbie, I don't know how much longer I'm going to keep that vehicle.
It's not your old one, is it?
It's not my old vehicle, you know, and I don't know how much money I want to spend getting it where it needs to be, because I might, you know, I might just keep that vehicle around for a backup vehicle and get something else here in the near future.
You liked your systems in your old vehicle, didn't you?
I did a lot, and I, you know, and
it worked around your lifestyle.
It was one of those things where, you know, my wife and I, we were trying to curb some of our costs and just kind of get to a place where we can focus a little bit more time and energy into other projects. And it was basically because of Livefyre, because I wanted her to pull back from some contracts that she had from her consulting business and focus more on what we're doing there. So we had to take an initial pay cut and we just found ways to trim the fat. And one thing I could, you know, I had a bunch of work that I needed to get done with that, my old Ridgeline, and we were fortunate that it was worth more than I owed on it. So basically, we dumped a $350 payment. I bought that vehicle I have now that was paid off. You know, so save $350 on that. Probably save, you know, $25-$30 on my car insurance, and it worked out really well. But now we're getting to the point where it's like, well, you know what? You know, this thing is paid off. I'm going to keep it. You know, a paid car. A car that's paid off is like money in the bank. Your vehicle is paid off is like money in the bank. But I'm still looking for that. You know, I'd love to have my Ridgeline back. I love that vehicle. I mean, let me tell you, I know they're uglier than sin. But you know, Rob, you've traveled in that thing up and down. You know, the country.
Between the dogs and the gear and the family and the friends and the random utility type jobs we did and this, that, and the other, that vehicle really may have had certain aesthetics that were not appealing to everyone. But, I mean, we climbed the side of a mountain with it, but we also, you know, used it to travel the interstates.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like, I you know, I have to drive large vehicles for work. You know, I usually have like Suburbans or, you know, I've had Suburbans, I've had Expeditions, I've had, you know, all kind of different SUV type vehicles for work. And I like something that drives more like a car, man. I don't want a F-150. I mean, they're nice, don't get me wrong, but they don't drive as comfortable as a vehicle. I mean, as a normal car, they drive like a truck. And, you know, I don't need a towboat. You know what I mean? I don't need to climb a boulder. You know, my off-roading is very limited of what I need, and it fit me perfectly. And I love being able to secure my stuff in my vehicle because nobody's going to go in there and pry open my trunk of that hidden cab. You know, it's just not going to happen. Or that hidden trunk in the bed.
My wife hates my vehicle.
Yeah.
She hates driving my vehicle. It's a combination between a tractor and a tank. And, you know, I can understand what you're saying about how something drives. For me, I grew up driving tractors, so it's not, you know, not too bad for me, but she hates it because of that, you know.
I am a foot taller than my wife, okay? It is very difficult to find a vehicle that can serve both of our needs, and she can drive it in case I you know, she needs to, and that's important to me. I mean, there's utility in that, you know. There's a lot of people like, oh, this is my vehicle, I don't want anybody else to drive it, dude. You know how many people had driven my vehicle for one reason or another? I mean, I don't think we have a friend in our group that hasn't driven my vehicle or had a need to drive my vehicle, you know. Whether we're out camping and we got to pull it into a certain area to have a evac in case somebody gets injured because we're doing a class, or, you know, I got to throw you the keys because you got to go pick up somebody at the airport because we're at a show, or,
when
you're, you know.
When your back was out, I think I acted as chauffeur.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I forgot about that. Yep. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. So, and I will be there. Needless to say, there probably will be an update if and when I can, you know, get my new vehicle. That is, you know, I'm trying to budget that out right now. So,
hey,
but of course, I'm a cheap bastard, and I won't buy a new car. I'll have to buy a used car.
Let me ask you something, man.
Yeah.
You said something about owning that kit in the back of your truck, mm-hmm. and all. And I'm gonna admit to something, and you don't have to admit to Jack if you don't want to. But I'm gonna admit to something on there. You know, my kits are never that damn well organized. The stuff you see on videos, it looks mm-hmm. like that for 10 minutes, dude. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Here it is, people. Here's the reality of it. If you like my kit, don't expect it to look like that the next time you see me.
Yeah.
I will use something out of it. I will replace something. I will swap it out for something I had in the house or in another bag. The headlamp that's in my glove box in my truck right now is not the same one that was in there 2 days ago. Because I went in the glove box for something and said, I think I'm going to switch this one to that one. And, you know, the sleep system that's in my truck right now for emergencies is not the same one that was in there 2 weeks ago. That one I'm actually using right now as my daily. And, yeah, I'm weird. I sleep in camping gear nightly. But regardless of that, I switch it up, and it's never, you know, it doesn't stay the same way long. So at any mm-hmm. given time, if you call me out on it and say, where's your so-and-so, there's probably yeah. going to be at least one piece of gear missing from any kit you find of mine.
Yeah. Or gear, other gear that you dumped in there for oh, yeah. you know, time being.
You,
so that's what happens to me all the time is like, you know, I'm transitioning from bags to do different testing or whatever. And it's a very difficult thing to do, but that's what happened is I'll dump stuff in this bag or dump stuff in that bag. And I'll still have my, you know, I'll still have all the needs.
Yeah.
All my needs met, but there's definitely abundance. There's definitely a redundancy. I mean, dude, I didn't realize I had three when I started that video. I did not realize I had three axes in that vehicle. If you would have asked me how many axes in that vehicle, I said, oh, I might have one in the bin, you know.
Right.
But we had some kind of thing, and I had both axes. So
generally, the only consistency you'll find with me is mm-hmm. the stuff I carry on my person. What's in my pockets?
Yeah.
Generally, 6 months to a year, it'll stay the same.
Yeah.
You know, and even beyond that, sometimes I just refresh stuff and get new. You know, new tender. I keep emergency tender in my pocket. So, you know, maybe I'll get new of the same thing, but, you know, there's very little variation in what's in my pockets. But other kits, man, it gets used so much and changed out and swapped out and added to and subtracted from and evolves.
Yep.
It's constantly evolving.
I think the important thing, and we've talked about this sometimes, and I can't beat this to people, use your stuff. And I mean, use it up. Use it up and get more stuff. And I know that sounds like a waste, but the skill set and the training that you get from using that stuff and you got to replace it, that's just an investment in your skills, and it's an investment that is going to pay in huge dividends if you're ever in that situation.
I think
I'll give you a perfect example, all right? And this is something that I'm guilty at. I am in a line of law enforcement that I have different requirements than your average law enforcement officer. Like I have an MSA air pack that I'm certified with, like firefighters. Same, you know, we have the 60-minute tubes. A lot of those guys have the 60-minute bottles. A lot of those guys have the 30-minute bottles. But we only train on that like once or twice a year. You know, so when I put that thing on, I got to be like, oh, crap, man. Okay, this is secondary. You know, okay, here, I got to turn it on. There's the bell, and let me see. I got to get this respirator on the mask. And it's one of those things where I know that I watch the firefighters that we work with. They throw that thing on. They just sling it over their back. They have it on in like 15 seconds. Not even 15 seconds, like 5 seconds. And it's one of those things where it's like, damn, I need to get using this thing. But unfortunately, the training requirements for us to use it and them to use it is crazy. I mean, these guys are blacking out their masks and crawling on the floor of these things, and you know, they suit up with it every time they go. We only suit up with it, you know, at a certain threat level, you know. So it's one of those things where you got to be honest with your needs, and you got to have that, you know, that training where you don't really like, oh man, this is dumb. And I've been working for the government for over 12 years. You know, I've been training with that air pack for damn near 8 or 9. And, you know, if I've used it 20 times, I think that'd probably be on the high end. You know, that is not good ratio where you got guys who are throwing on, you know, firefighters are throwing on every call and they can do it in their sleep. And so you gotta be willing to take the time, you know, even if you think the need isn't necessarily there, it's a, you know, 1,000,000 to 1 chance that I ever really need that. But if that 1,000,000 to 1 chance happens, I'd need to damn near be prepared. And we were just doing research here before, and I got 10 guys in the class, and I only got 8 air packs. So, you know, some people are sitting there watching doing instead of doing it themselves. You know, that's ridiculous, you know. So it's just something to think about, and I bring this back to your gear. Go out there and use your emergency fire starter. Go out there and scrape that damn fire steel. Go up there and you know, deploy that tube tent or whatever that you have. I'm going to use this trash bag for this. You know, I got this, you know, 3 mil or whatever trash bag in here I'll be using for a shelter. Well, cut that thing open and make a shelter out of it. Put some weight on it. Let it sit out there for in a rainy day, or you know it's snowing tonight. Let me go make a shelter in the snow and see how it holds up. Let me see if it falls, if it had fallen down in the middle of the night. Let me just set it up and come back home.
Let me interject something real quick, Adam.
Yeah.
You and I both know Jamie Burley.
Yep.
Right.
Great guy.
Yeah, see him at shows. Good guy. Jamie did something the other night during the middle of a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
He takes out his 3 mil plastic trash bags and says, let's see what kind of sheltering quality this really is. Right? Mm-hmm. And he goes and tests himself against, I don't know, it was like 20 degrees outside. You know, he lives up north. Cold as all get out. I think he said he lasted like an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes. And for whatever reason, I think his wife was leaving for work and he had to go in with the kids or something. Long story short, it was like an hour and 15 minutes he went in. But he said the truth of the matter was that even if that hadn't happened, he doubted he would have lasted another 15 minutes.
Really?
Because he said the realities of things, you know, not having a pre-built place to sit. So anything he touched was frozen cold, you know.
Yeah.
The condensation building up inside the bag. The combination of all the different things, the reality was without a fire, without additional insulation, you know, ways to create a microclimate and that type of thing, an hour and 15 minutes, and he said he didn't know if he would have made it another 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you don't know that if you don't play with this stuff. You know, if you don't go out and try it and do it, you're never going to know it. And another aspect of that whole conversation, you know, about the kit, the gear and all, is, mm-hmm. you know, our old friend, Ron Hood, the late great, mm-hmm. had that mentality of good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about whether I've got, you know, do I have 200 foot of you know, 550 fire cord in the truck, or do I have a roll of bank line?
You better, damn it.
Or do I have a roll of bank line and some live fire minis in the pouch? I don't care.
Yeah.
Either one is good enough. You know, I can get the job done with either. And so you need to also find that good enough. You know, you know what the job is you need to get accomplished. Does the, you know, assortment of gear you have cover your bases? And if so, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Make sure you have the skill level to get the job done with, you know, the resources that you're going to have, and it's good enough.
You know, Robbie, and I can bring up this conversation now. We might not have enough time to get through it before the podcast is over. We got about 13 minutes left, and we still need to do some other stuff. But I've been, after that EDC video, I look at that. I'm like, well, you know, I got a lot of good gear in there, and I can see my transition of gear and whatever. But like, I'm getting to the point when I go out camping, one or two things is happening. One, I don't have anything to prove to anybody anymore. You know, my days of you know, just having a wool blanket and doing push-ups in the middle of the night so I don't freeze my butt off, and just, you know, being as rugged, they're very few and far between, because I don't got anything to prove to myself or anything to prove to anybody else, so I know I can do it. The only thing that I do know is that as I get older, it's going to be harder and harder to do that. So I need to be more prepared, because I know that there's a difference of when I went out there and it's like, you know, I'm going to go out there, just my wool clothes and my wool blanket and, you know, see what I can do with the shelter. When I was 35, than when I was doing it when I was 25.
Yeah.
And,
I have decided I'm now a cold sleeper. I didn't used to be, but I am now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. It's, I mean, especially since I had my back surgery, I don't know what's up with that, but I'm always cold now. But like, I want to get a kit together that I can have in my car that is just my beat stick kit. Like, you know, this, like, and I'm talking about, I'm not going to put a nylon tent in there. I'm going to put a canvas tent in there. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to put it, you know, a down nylon sleeping bag, you know, extra wool blankets. I don't care if it weighs 15 pounds. It's going to be rugged, hard proof, and I will use any of the modern technology to supplement any of those, the shortcomings of that stuff. But I know if, you know, it's going to last. If I don't touch it, I want something that if I leave in my trunk for a year, it's going to be the same quality to do what it needs to do in that year. If you leave one of these microfiber down, you know, sleeping bags compressed in your vehicle for a year, guess what? When you unfurl that thing, it's going to be damn worthless because everything's going to be is going to be permanently crushed, and you're not going to get any kind of insulation value out of that stuff at all. So that's my next project that I want to start, you know, getting together. And now I want to take two of the shelter halves.
That's an interesting concept that you're going down, a thought process there. And you're right. We don't have enough time for this one. Because
I want to set it and forget it. That's
basically
what I want.
Hearing is your camping / hiking gear can be ultralight modern, while a good bit of your emergency gear probably needs to be old school bulletproof.
That's right. Because when it comes down to it, I'm not. Survival doesn't need to be about comfort. It doesn't need to be. I want the smallest footprint, the most durable gear. I want to get the most return on my investment for space and weight, you know, and cost of the gear. Because this is, I'm not good. Like I've got a Flectarn, two Flectarn half shelters, and they're perfect, dude. Let me tell you something. You crawl into a space that small with a buddy of yours, I don't care if it's 30 degrees outside, that canvas and two people in there, body heat, it's going to warm up. You're going to get past hypothermia, you know, unless it's like, you know, negative 20 or something like that. That might be a problem. You know, you do need some kind of barrier. You do need some kind of barrier against the ground cold. But, you know, those things, you can't get into them in the summertime. There ain't no way. It's a damn sweat box.
I'm gonna say, Adam, that the thought process would need to be judged against each individual piece of gear, because some modern pieces of gear work better than the old school stuff. But I can't argue.
And also, you also got to pick stuff for your region that you're at.
Well, for example, I have no problems with any carbon steels as your everyday knife, but I feel like a true survival knife should be stainless steel because it may be left in a kit for a year before you ever need it.
I don't know
what's happening to something when I'm not there to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, man. I was just, you know, you need that bulletproof gear. I was just doing a overview on a new piece of equipment, which was actually my gear pick. It's the it's a spool tool, Tactical 550. Guys, check out tactical550.com.
I love the spool tool.
It's cool. I mean, it's one of those things where I when it came out, I wanted one. I just never jumped on it because it's like, you know, that is a solution I need, but I don't need. Let me rephrase that. That is a solution that I want, but I don't have a need for it right now. When I get a chance to get one, I will. But but now that I got one, I'm like, man, this makes sense. And it's funny.
That was
I'm doing this over
about
oh
six
was it the
months
spool
or a year ago? Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was. Well, it's funny because I had a 100-foot hank of cord, and I got the cord tangled up on video when I was trying to wrap it on the spool tool, right? Because I just wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. I got it tangled up, and it was a hot mess. I was frustrated, man. I was like, God dang it. You know, I just wanted to stop the video. He's like, no, this is good because this is what really happens. How many times have you been out in the field and you made one wrong move with your cord and you dropped it or whatever, and it becomes a tangled mess? And I was like, well, damn, if this isn't articulate the need for this device, I don't know what does. Right. I'm like, look at this is proof positive. And
one of those E2E confessions, Adam. I am never ever ever on the same side of the tree as that tag end of my dasted cord. It's always hung up in some like sticks and roots and mess on the other side of the tree and just will not pull free when I just need to get the other end of it to tie it up.
I'm at the point, man, like with the stuff that I do, I don't get a chance to watch many other YouTube videos nowadays. But the other day I took a good 45 minutes to an hour and I just perused wherever YouTube led me. And you know, there's a lot of decent guys out there, I will say that. But there's a lot of guys too where I'm like, come on, man. Come on, man. You know this is artificial what you're doing here. You know it doesn't go down that way. And I can tell that you're experienced enough that you're not doing it right by accident. You're doing it right by camera edit, you know. And it's like there needs to be a little reality to this, you know, to be like, oh yeah, this sucks. This right here sucks. This well, situation sucks.
Well, you know? let me tell you something, Adam. you need to go back to watching Sarge Ferreira's videos. Make him a priority.
Because I love that guy, man.
And I good know dude. You turned me on to him. But I also know that your schedule doesn't leave much time for entertainment anymore.
If anybody's got a DeLorean with a flux capacitor, let me borrow it for about a month. I'll be good.
He's been doing these videos recently and where he's just telling crap the way it is and what he's doing. Like, for example, he's been using matches. And he's, you know, why do I want to play with a ferro rod and make this tinder bundle when I can just take this big collection of twigs, light a match, and it lights up without having to prep any tinder?
Who the hell said matches are bad? Like, where the hell did that start from? I mean, I got some of these hurricane matches. They're whatever they're called, storm matches. They're amazing. They're amazing.
I mean,
one of the best.
Guess what?
What?
UCO, the people that make those matches you love?
Yeah.
Guess what they've just revealed? Or will be a new product this year? A long burn version of that match.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, I agree with that 100%. I don't know who the heck started this nasty lie that matches suck. I mean, there's a whole generation of adventuring that happened with matches. You know what I mean? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I bet you at one. I would love to see if we had a magic crystal ball that can see the ratio of successful fires created by human beings, and I would wonder what the ratio of each fire starting tool is. I mean, you think even a bow drill? Okay, yeah, a bow drill or a friction fire was probably used for, you know, thousands of years, but the population was super small. You know what I mean? Now we got 7 billion people on the planet. You know, that population of fire starting in a year would probably take up several hundred years at least of fire starting by primitive people.
That's a perspective I've never thought about. Interesting.
Well, dude, it's all about numbers, man. 7 billion people. I mean, even if you're talking about, you know, 20 to 20, even if 20% of those people ever use, I mean, it's going to be more than that because it probably more like 60% of those people probably are relying on actually starting fires for their daily life activities.
So in any one given day, the combination of smokers on this planet probably flick their Bics more.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, an average smoker, anywhere from 5 to 20 cigarettes a day.
Yep.
Combine all of them.
Across the world. You know what? I would guess that probably the amount of smokers that light a Bic in a year probably outnumbers the amount of fires started for the history of man pre-industrial revolution.
It may. No, that's.
I mean,
that's,
I think
smoker 5 to 20 a day.
Yeah, well, I think we've reached the point here recently that there's more people alive than people have died on the planet.
Right.
I think we've reached that point, which is it's just nuts. It's nuts. I mean, like a billion is so much. Like people don't realize how much that is. You know, It's just a huge amount. If you ever watch a if you could see a model of somebody standing next to $1 million bills, and then somebody standing next to $1 billion bills, it'll blow your mind, you know. So, well, Robbie, we are re reaching the end of
Well,
our
before
time
we
here.
go, I think we should mention our sponsors,
But
Livefire
yeah, you know,
Inc.,
that would, yeah, that
LLC.
would be important. Dan misses one episode, and we throw him under the bus. Yeah, guys, go check out livefiregear.com. Great, we got some new stuff coming here shortly. I wish I
That's
could tell you guys.
LivefireGearLLC.com.
Well, you can go to livefiregear.com or livefiregearllc.com.
Okay.
Just stay tuned. But if you have a local shop, a website you like to buy from, and they are not carrying Livefire products, send an email to admin@livefiregear.com and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I love this store. I shop here all the time, and this would be a perfect product because I'm always like, if you're always buying something, you want to get over that $100 mark to get free shipping or something, you know, and you can always use more Livefire. Give us that store's name. We'll contact them, and if we can get them squared away to be a dealer or whatever, we're gonna hook you guys up with something. All right." So you might be getting some free swag for that. So let us know, and see, I say that now because I'm not the one who's got to go over there and talk to the dealers and fill out all the dealer applications and everything.
It's easy to make work for other people.
It is, man. That's what I do. So
And
also
also,
Dogwood Custom, yeah,
Dogwood
Dogwood
Custom
Custom Knives.
Knives. If you're interested in a Dogwood, check out their dealers at USA Made Blade, Edgeworks, and Arizona Custom Knife. I know that Dan just this past week released on Facebook a photo of a new offering from Dogwood that a lot of hunters may be excited about, the Dogwood Custom Knife Skinner. Very interesting and a very worthwhile blade to take a look at if you're a hunter. I actually did the testing on the prototypes, and it is a nimble little skinner. I told Dan when I gave it back to him that after the trials, I learned that with small game, it's not even necessary to touch the animal. You just lay the knife near the rabbit or squirrel, and the skin just falls off. Pretty
You know what,
impressive
Robbie?
little skinner.
It has been nearly a year since I got my last dogwood knife, and I've been, you know, I
I
really
think
wanted
there's,
one.
I've got, I can't give you any the specifics, but there should be a couple on their way to me for testing here in the next week that
Boy,
I think
we
are
might
going
have
to
to
be
turn we might have to turn the tables. I might have to rob you for once, man.
you're
Rob
going to be
Dan.
interested in this one.
Because every time you guys come over, I get, you know, I'm missing live fire and fire cord stuff and
Well,
backpacks and so
they're
yeah.
the new one I'm going to be testing next week, Adam. There's a fun factor too that I think you're going to be interested in.
Awesome. And you know what? I just want to mention some of the other people out there who've been sending us some stuff, guys. I know that it's not necessarily a podcast sponsor, but Tactical 550 just sent me the spool too. Check them out. VanQuest Gear has sent me a couple things. Go and check them out as well, and let me know what you guys think. I had a Bic lighter story in this, but I'm gonna save that for later.
You know
Just the
the
classic Bic lighters always fail for me, you know.
you know the I just got a email from Exotac that the Bic lighter cover should be shipping. Their
Oh,
Kickstarter
sweet.
program they did
Yeah,
should be shipping
absolutely.
first of the month, I think.
Nice. I can't wait to get my hands on that. All right, guys. Well, if you guys have any questions or comments for us, email us at podcast@equippedindoor.com. Make sure you guys go check us out on Facebook, like us on that, Instagram, of course, subscribe to us on YouTube, and make sure you go check out the website at www.equippedindoor.com. Join and become a member on the Fair Play Network as low as 9 cents a day. Actually, lower if you get the annual. I think it's like $8 or $9 a year. So check it out, guys. Really helps us out, and it's some great stuff. Well, you guys take care, be safe out there, and remember, if you're not always prepared, you're never prepared. Thanks.